Welcome to Inovo Radio, your place to gather insight and wisdom for creating healthy organizations. Discover how to uncover defects in your organization and find ways to be a powerful force of change for your organization. Here's your host, David Phillips.
Hey, it's the first week of June, and I hope you had a great Memorial Day weekend. My family and I did, and so today on this podcast, I have brought back Christy Geiger from two episodes ago where we talked about trends in leadership, and she's working on a project right now to kind of boil down what true and authentic leadership is, and so I wanted to talk to her about that a little bit, and so I hope you enjoy this conversation that we had. I always enjoy talking with her because we just kind of bounce ideas off of each other, and we kind of share with one another, and it's a fun time for both of us and fun time for conversation. So I hope you enjoy this, and look forward to hearing any thoughts that you might have on the podcast page or on Facebook or any reviews you might have, comments you might have on the iTunes page. All right. Once again, here's Christy Geiger.
Yes.
So tell me about, let's see, I'm looking back at your email.
Okay, so it's a project.
Yeah.
And it's a study on, the project is a study on what truly makes a great leader.
Oh, that's a great topic.
And the challenge that I think is that there's all these books out there on leadership, and there's lots of people who want to be great leaders, right?
Right.
And there's kind of a checklist that you can go to leadership about and be like, okay, you know, and I walk the four corners, and I'm humble, and I'm selfless, and, you know, I'm a visionary, and whatever, right? So there's these attributes that you go, okay, so do I have the attributes of being a great leader, whether they're natural or trained or whatever it is. So want to be this great leader, right?
Right.
And then there's kind of this new factor or new variable in leadership is the whole millennial. And frankly, I think the millennial is starting to outdate, and it's even more the Gen Z, who's even different than the millennial. Or more extreme than the millennial, right? So the Gen Zs are starting to actually grow up into the workforce. They're just starting to come in, but we're starting to see the influence of the Gen Z. And so with the millennial and a Gen Z population, they're just very different than the population that we're coming out of.
Yeah.
And even though you and I are Gen XY, we still embody some of the attributes of the baby boomers with hard work, our work ethic, and, you know, doing the right thing and the concept that there is a right and wrong and all of this, right?
Right.
So there's just all this philosophical and just tons of stuff around what makes a great leader. And is it, you know, is a baby boomer leader the same as a Gen Y or a millennial leader and whatever? And so the project that I am considering or thinking about, because one of my passions is to be an adaptive leader, right?
Right.
And an adaptive leader recognizes the generation and the culture around them and then adapts to the generation and culture so that they are still an effective leader. Because I believe you become an ineffective leader when you don't adapt. So
right.
Being an adaptive leader. But then what I've been thinking about is what is it that really makes that great leader? And one thing that I've been coming down to is that I believe it really is about the ability to make decisions. And that if you are not able to make that, even if you tear away everything else, because you still have to do all those things, but it's just that the season changes, the scenery changes. And but what remains the same? And integrity, of course, remains the same and things like that. But I think the attribute for the leader is the ability to make decisions. Because when you're in the middle of a hard situation, and when you're in the middle of a changing landscape, a quickly, you know, an industry that's dying, an industry that's evolving, you've got to be able to size it up and make quick decisions. Now, I do believe that there's attributes of a leader in order to be able to make good decisions. You've got to know your value system. You've got to be great with your, or constantly working on your emotional intelligence. If you're a barfy reactionary leader, you're going to have issues. You can't make good decisions when you're an emotional decision maker. You need to know your personality style and what's your zone and what's not your zone. So I think there's factors to that, but I think it really boils down to making good decisions and being a decision maker. So anyway, that's what I, and today even I was thinking about, like, what's the anti of that? You know, when things fail, why did it fail? Was it because a decision wasn't made? When we miss an opportunity, why do we miss it? Was it because you didn't make a decision fast enough? And when you look at things that are success, usually those successes were a result of many decisions, and many of them that were failures, but they just kept making decisions. And then they found the right one. Hmm. So that's my reflection. But what do you think?
So what do I think? You know, I was sitting here thinking as you were talking. I'm thinking about a generation who's had all the decisions made for them. Trying to think about how to make decisions. And, you know, but I think of helicopter moms, and I think of, you know, those kinds of things. And so decisions are being made, things are being done for them, all that kind of stuff. And, wow, that's really good. Now, I'll tell you, here's my thoughts on what makes, just personally in general, what makes a great leader. And there are two. Communication and credibility.
Good.
Without the ability to communicate everything, the vision, the decisions that have been made to bring people along, you're never going to go anywhere. And without the credibility behind it to say, trust me, in this is the decision, this is the right decision, this is what I've seen and how I've seen and how we can move forward and do these things, then you'll never go anywhere.
Say more about credibility. What is really credibility? I know you said, like, the trust me, but say more, like, how does a great leader have credibility?
Relationship.
Okay, so really it's credibility and relationships.
Yeah, it's credibility. It's not only that, it's credible. It's a past history of leadership.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got a track record. I've done what I said I was going to do.
Yeah.
And then it's the relationship, the personal relationship to say, and this is going to get hard, and I know it's going to get hard, but if you look at my past, you've seen what I've done. I'm treating you well. You know, there are all these trust things that have been established that create credibility exists, and they will trust you and they will follow you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so, but that all goes. You don't get to those places without a decision.
Well, and also the it's kind of the heartbeat of everything that's constantly happening in leadership, right? Because if you're a leader and, you know, we're just hanging out, what are you leading? Where are we going? That's right. A decision. How are we going there? That's a decision. And even if it's not a dictative leadership of, like, the leader is dictating how we're going there. Even the leader deciding, hey, let's have a conversation about this and making space to have a conversation. that's a decision.
Yeah.
How the leader communicates it and how much the leader chooses to share, or how much power and control the leader decides to give up or to share, and how inclusive the leader is in including the team in order to set the direction, all of those are decisions. And so to me, a leader is constantly, they're a decision-making machine. And if you are able to make decisions quickly, which comes from being centered and grounded yourself, you're able to size up that information, assert what is the decision that needs to be made, look at the factors in order to make that decision, and make whatever baby step decision is needed in order to move it forward. Even if that decision is as basic as, how are we going to communicate this information? And I think a lot of times leaders don't realize how many decisions, the anti-decisions they're making. And what I mean by that is not making a decision is always a decision.
Sure.
And so if they are like, well, I don't know how to communicate that, I'm not sure when we should communicate that. Oh, that feels like a lot of information to communicate. Let's hold off on that. Those are all decisions.
Yeah.
Which could impair their ability to lead, because I agree with you, foundationally, communication and that other piece, credibility through relationships, two huge pieces, but they're all decisions. Who am I going to have a relationship with? Who are the key influencers? What does that look like? How much time do I spend? They're all decisions.
Right. And, you know, and yet, you know, we I think in some ways we're exiting the realm of the celebrity leader. And then so culturally, now we're getting to leadership in community.
Wow, that's really good. So say more about that. Like, the celebrity leader looked like this versus the community leader looks like what?
Yeah, so we've got Jack Welch. I mean, Jack Welch is kind of the poster boy for boomer leadership. In the church world, it's probably Rick Warren or Bill Hybels or Andy Stanley. So you've got the star, who's worked his way up or has started something, and people are following him, and it is a great and glorious event, and they are, their decision goes, right?
Yep. Even though they have their team around them, they're very humble.
Right.
They would never placate that they are a dictator. They're absolutely enrolling in the team using gifts and strengths, but agree, yeah. It is a spotlight leader.
Right. So you have the spotlight leader, and people have been so let down by so many, whether it's politically, whether it is, in the church world, you have a generation of people who in some ways are afraid to make a decision. So instead of making a decision for themselves, they bring along others to help make the decision for the group.
Mm-hmm.
And then it becomes, of course, I'm just spitballing here. It's almost as if it becomes, mobbish.
Right, which is interesting, because I think that creates confusion or resistance by older, you know, whether it's the baby boomer, our generation,
right.
Gen X, Y, because you're like, what? Community? No way! Because you've kind of seen this happen where the wrong team was leading, or the leader released their authority or tried to be inclusive.
Right.
And then suddenly it was totally led the wrong direction, kind of by whether it was misleaded because they didn't have the full parameters of the vision. And so then they created their own vision, which went in a totally different direction or whatever. But they've seen the impact of a misled community decision.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So,
versus go, what is a community leader?
Well, I mean, the kind of the picture I see is people, someone who's able to gather people around them, and in the midst of a community, it's like the community makes a decision. It's like a think tank,
uh-huh.
As opposed to, So it's almost like you, I don't know, but you still have those, charismatic leaders who, even at that age, even at a younger age, so 20s, 30s, even younger, are able to rally people to do things. I'm thinking of the girl from Iran or Iraq. Who, as a young girl, was shot, and she was striving for peace, and now she's in some deal with the UN, and she's been all over the world. And Malala.
I don't know her.
My name is Malala. Anyway, but she's kind of a Mother Teresa type in that she doesn't seek the spotlight, but she's trying to make a change. I don't know. I see people who come together to make a decision, as opposed to you kind of have this one driving force, and I think I see that because I see people struggling to make a decision. And so, if I'm going to fail, I don't want to fail by myself, because I don't know how that's going to affect my self-esteem.
So are you saying that community leadership is an avoidance or a collective failure? Like a collective
it's
effort?
It's a fear of failure.
A fear of failure?
Yeah. So I don't want to fail. I'm afraid of that. I don't know what I don't know what it feels like, because my parents have never told me I failed. And I get a participation trophy for everything that I do. So I don't know what that feels like, but at the same time, maybe you've taken a step, maybe you've failed once, and you don't know how to overcome that failure. And so the easiest thing to do is to make it to get with people so that you don't have to shoulder the blame if the decision is not successful.
It's possible. I wonder, that's interesting, because that feels like a perspective from our generation, right? Kind of like the same perspective when we're like, oh, those kids, they don't even know how to have relationships. They're always on social media. They don't even talk to each other anymore. Like, that's our paradigm, our perspective, yeah. Right? Because it seems like that, but they're like, I don't feel that way. I just do it different than you do.
Right.
It almost feels like a judgment to them, like, okay, listen, we don't need to do that. We don't need to sit there and talk about nothing for 10 hours with the same person. We don't do that.
Yeah.
Or whatever, right? And I wonder, like, that's really interesting what you were, and I was thinking the same thing as far as, like, the community sports, right? Because it's like everyone's a winner, everyone gets a participation ribbon, whatever. But I wonder if that's kind of, you know, trying to go, well, what's good about that? What's healthy about that is, I wonder if that has created part of the new culture or the new mindset for them that, you know, we've taught that to them, right? Like, hey, you know, everybody wins with team. Together, everyone accomplishes more.
Yeah.
Team or whatever, right?
Right.
Like, there's a way that we've inbred this philosophy that you're better with a team. That yes, you want to do your best, but do your best within the framework of a team. So we've kind of really trained kids on this. We've tried to dumb out their competitiveness and been like, yeah, it's okay to be competitive, but be competitive with your team.
Right.
Work together with your team.
Right.
And so then I think that, and I wouldn't say that was like a failure. I just think it created something new. And the new that it created was kind of, like you were saying, this community decision-making or this community team. So it's not... like, it's possible they could be afraid to make the decision on their own. So then, you know, it's the whole team's responsibility. But I also wonder if it's possible that they're just like, you know what? We're going to make better decisions as a team. I could make this decision by myself, but who am I to make that decision on my own? I don't see all these perspectives. But if we make the decision as a team, then everybody's perspective is involved. So we have a better chance of making a better decision collectively. that they honestly believe that independent leadership, independent authority, one source, this is the way it should be, is not accurate. It's a jaded perspective, and that they have a more full 360 perspective with the eyes of a team versus the eyes of one.
Yeah. I like that. I can see that. And we have embedded that within them, that everything is better with a team. You know, there's... I don't know. There's this... You know, did you ever see the movie The Incredibles?
I don't think we watched it, so no.
Okay. Well, it's worth your watch. I mean, it's a funny, it's a cute movie, it's a kid's movie, it's an animated movie. But in the end, one of the villain in the movie says, if everybody's special, then nobody is. And... So if the only thing that happens in a team, then how do you find your identity?
What do you mean?
Well, I mean, your identity becomes wrapped up in a group as opposed to really being able to figure out who you are and figure out you know, how you're going to function, how you're going to move, how you're going to make decisions. If everything is done within the context of a team, then how do you make it? How do you function outside the team?
Well, I think so. I want to loop back to like how to be a community leader, because I think that was good. Like, we're leaving the era of the celebrity leader and going into the community leader. And I do think, at least for myself, like, that's a true area of study for me.
Sure.
I honestly confess, I am not a great community leader. I'm a D personality. I'm a command strength personality.
Yeah.
So when people are moving kind of slow, whatever, I'm like, okay, let's go.
Yeah.
Because I see it and I want to move. So that's hard for me. This is an area that I really seek to study and understand, because it is not natural or easy to me.
Me either.
So the community leader is important. But to answer your thing, I don't think the identity thing, I think, is still not a problem, because to me, like, I think about McKenna, my daughter, who's 9, just, you know, coming out of a softball season, and she usually played outer field, you know, where she was in the lineup for hitting and different things like that, right? So I believe that in a team, and that's another problem with the old team, the old paradigm of team. Think about like meetings at church. You know, oh, we have a 7 o'clock children's discipleship meeting, please be there. And so anyone who's involved in child discipleship comes to this 7 o'clock meeting. Nobody has a role. Nobody has, and it's not about titles, but it's just, you don't have a role.
Right.
You don't have a project. You don't have a specific thing. You sit at this meeting, someone, you know, talkie-talks the whole time. Hopefully you leave the meeting with no tasks, because everybody's so busy, you know, you're involved, but you're not, versus when you're like, I'm on this team because I represent the TOTS ministry and I'm really passionate about that. And I have a TOT right now, so I totally get what the TOTS need and what the parents need and what their view is right now. So I'm a voice for them, and I represent that on this team. So when we're planning children's ministry, that's my role or my purpose or my seat. And like, going back to your thing on identity, like, I love, you know, and I just think the Bible is such a great source for so many different things, but the biblical analogy of the body, and, you know, how God talks about that where the body is the church. And I think this applies business or church, but you know, you think about, I always crack up and try to use it when I'm talking to my clients about, like, you know, if your fingers and your job is to reach and to pick up things, and you're really good at it, and it's easy for you to pick up things, and you can do it fast and without any effort or challenge, but maybe somebody else's role is the heart. and the heart is to pump blood, and you got to pump every single, you know, whatever it is, how many beats per minute, right? And like, can you imagine as a hand if you were trying to be the heart and you're sitting here like this trying to be the heart, like how long can you sustain that? You cannot. Your hand's going to fall off.
Right.
But the heart would be like, that's easy. That's no problem. So to me, that's like the total essence of the strengths movement. And that when you're understanding your strengths, that is part of your identity and part of your, not your brand, but just your role, your purpose. And so if I'm on this little team at my church and I understand that my strength set is eyeballs and that I can see things, I'm, you know, futuristic, visionary, whatever, I'm eyeballs. And then let's say I go to work and I still have those eyeball qualities. And, you know, I do think that there's a couple parts of the body that's been like, can be used in another, you know, a skin graft gum to a different right. area, whatever. But I think usually God wires you with unique gifts and talents that you kind of use in a similar fashion across the board. So even though you're part of a community, I think you still have an independent contribution.
Yeah, no, I get that part. It's just there, you know, there is something to finding yourself as much as, you know, there is something in learning your own voice and learning your own identity and learning who you are. And if all you live in is a team, and you don't get outside that team, and you don't learn to make the decisions out apart from that team, and you don't learn to even lead yourself apart from the team, then identity-wise, there's a big piece missing.
Agree.
Because
I think it's the maturity, that you're maturing as an individual and learning individual, like how to lead yourself, how to know yourself and lead yourself, and then you'll be a more constructive member of the team.
Yeah, no, I agree with that completely. So I don't know. I just, you know, there's this and it's a struggle. It's a tension that I haven't thought about too much about. But now that I'm thinking about it, I'm like, how does that work? Because I agree. In some ways, decisions are being more team, or decisions are more team oriented, and so they're made by a collective as opposed to a celebrity. And I think that's a good thing. And yet, on the flip side of that, how do we understand who we are if everything is done in the context of a team? How do we function? Like what happens when you go to a different place than the team goes? For instance, you get married, you move, you graduate high school, you go to a different college, you get a job, the group stays in the area, you get a job in New York City. So
right.
You got to figure out how to function. You got to figure out how to make decisions. You got to figure out how to, and so you go through all of these, and it really is a finding yourself moment. There's something to be said for decisions being made within the community, that affect the community, but there's also got to be that self, the understanding of the self, because without that identity, you're gonna function out of who you are. You're gonna function out of your identity.
Okay, so I think that's a really great point, but I think that goes back to community is a collective whole of many individuals. So individuals is not a community, isn't an amalgamation of a bunch of individuals. Community is a collection of a bunch of individuals. So we're all individuals, and then we come together to create community. And I think that goes back to the whole project around leadership, whether you're just leading yourself or whether you're leading your family or whether you're leading a community or a group, is that in order for you to be a good leader, still think it comes back to making decisions.
Yes.
Because knowing yourself, I think, is part of that. Because so to me, part of my premise is that as a leader, first of all, you have to know your values. And that when you understand your values, you're able to make better decisions. So, for example, one of my personal values is energy. Mm-hmm. So when I'm in things that give me energy, I really resonate with them and I am stimulated by them, motivated by them. They're wonderful. When I'm in things that really take my energy or zap my energy, I find it exhausting and difficult. So sometimes, I know, where'd you go?
I know, right? The light went out. The bulb. I got a shaky light in here. So let's see if I can get it. There we go. I'll just hold it.
Better. Okay. So then when you know your values, then you are able to make better decisions, because if you suddenly find yourself in a funk, whatever, like you said, you graduated from college, you got a new job, you moved to California in order to take the new job, and you're like, man, I'm just not clicking. I don't know what's going on. Okay, let's check your values first. Where do you get energy from? Where did you get that before? And what takes your energy? Oh my goodness. And you find that the reason why I am so checked out is because all the things that fed my energy before, I'm out of. I'm not learning anything right now. I don't have my coffee people who I talk to. So I need a little circle of influence to hang out with, and I need to be learning something. So I'm going to plug those things into my life or whatever. They're all decisions right on what you're creating. And then I do think you're right. It's about understanding your personality, understanding your strengths, understanding your emotional intelligence, and then going right down the line. And the more you go from that, now you start to merge into more community. But I don't believe community leadership means a floundering person who doesn't know themselves.
Okay.
I think a great community leader knows themselves, knows their weaknesses. They know their values. They know who they are and where they're going. And a community leader has simply been effective in surrounding themselves with other people who share a same cause. And so a community leader, so maybe my cause is I just have this vision. I'm trying to think of a cause, like something for
police brutality. I'll just throw one out.
Okay, sure. Great. I was thinking more on a kid line.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, okay. So, or I'll go with mine because my head was already there. Okay. So like on kids and how, where they're getting their esteem, their self-esteem from, and how influenced they are by others or whatever, right? So let's say I have this cause for community. So I know myself and I know, A, what I have to offer as being a hand. Or maybe I'm a heart. I'm just a bleeding heart for this cause, but I have like no faculty to go do something about it. So now I go and I build my community. I find somebody who has a shared lineup of the cause of what we're desiring, but then they have different strengths, interests, skills, and desires. And then collectively as a group, I'm like, man, this is my heart. This is what I feel. What do you feel? And you're like, yeah, I really feel that too. And what you're really good at is technology. And you're like, you know what, Christy, you can really leverage this because kids are on technology and that's the way that we can get the message out. Okay, that's awesome. Well, what message are we going to say? And then, oh my goodness, my friend Liz is this phenomenal marketer. And she is like just, she is a mouth, right? Like not a bad mouth, but yeah. Like she's a marketing person, right? So Liz is like, oh, I have a heart for that too. And I love that. We need to build up kids. We need to reduce suicide rate. We need to reduce the influence of how kids just feel like they're worthless and that they're being fed these missed messages of where their value comes from. So Liz is like, these messages. So you're like, great, Liz, give me the messages. And then we're like, well, wait a minute. Now we put all these messages out here. Now what are we going to do with that? We need someone to help. You know, how are we going to funnel them? What's the process? We need a process person or whatever, right?
Right.
So I think community leadership simply comes from someone who has a vision and a cause and that they put that out there, but they're not dictating or mandating how the cause evolves. And I think that's in this new generation. They want to be part of the solution. They want to be part of the vision. They want to be part of making a difference, but they don't want to be told what to do. And they want to bring their skills and gifts to the table and to be empowered in that area. So they're totally self-aware, or whatever, as we all are. You're never totally self-aware, but they're in their own process of self-awareness, realizing strengths, weaknesses, gifts, what you said, their identity. Mm-hmm. Right? They kind of know their identity, and they're coming together in this cause. And to your point, I think sometimes people aren't, they're very immature in that process, and sometimes a cause or a community helps them to discover that, where they're just kind of floundering, and they're like, wow, I really like this, but I don't know where I fit in. And the community helps them to go, well, what do you like? What are you interested in? And the community helps to put them in a spot where they shine because they're using their talents and gifts. Mm. And I think a church community, when a church community does that, that's even more awesome. But I think that's the challenges for churches today too, is like to shift into this community leader. But I don't know. So that's kind of, I think that's part of what it is, but I don't totally.
Well, I'm chuckling because everything you described is systemic. So it's a system, right? So the basis of a system, the core of a system, is what's called a strange attractor.
Okay.
So that's what you would have in the metaphor, what you were talking about with a cause.
Okay.
So the cause brings everyone together.
Okay.
And so the every small, within a system concept, every small decision, every what seems to be insignificant decision, even a non-decision, which is, like you said, is a decision, has an impact on it, on the system.
Right.
On the community. And so every new entry into the system, a new person, a new event outside of the community that, let's say, it's new filtering software. That's just thing that popped into my head for kids. So now we've got that we can put into play. Every new little piece of information that input changes the system a little bit.
Uh-huh.
Because now you're dealing with a completely new set of dynamics. 1 + 1 = 3, regardless. Your 1 + 1 = 3 in a system, because it's not you and me, it's you and me and the relationship between you and me.
The plus sign is also its own entity.
Yes.
Hmm.
But and let's say now you've got 3 people in the system. It's not just 1 + 1 + 1. It's not 3 anymore. It's 3. Plus the relationship between you and me, and you and the other person, and me and the other person, and the other person, and so now, so it's not addition anymore; it's multiplication. So the complexities are become multiplied instead of an add.
Uh-huh.
And so, but the system itself is stronger than the parts of the system.
Uh-huh.
So, but then when you think about every insignificant decision is big, right? So,
yeah.
So you have to make decisions before the decision needs to be made. Otherwise, when you get into the midst of the challenge, when you get into the midst of the battle, you get in the midst of the struggle. If you've already made the decision, then you can move through it. But if you have to stop to make the decision, then you've lost momentum. You've lost all kinds of things. Excuse me.
I totally agree. I agree that you have to be able. It's really being prepared. If you're prepared, you can make the decision in the moment rather than stopping everything in order to make the decision. But I would phrase it maybe slightly different, although I agree with you, you probably have already made the decision. Like, a true decision maker has probably already made the decision. I do think that's true. But I do think some people would freak out by that and be like, hey, that's madness. How can you make a decision before the decision is even there? But I think what that can do...
Okay, go outside.
Oh, me.
Okay, what I think that that comes down to is knowing...
Sorry.
He's done.
Is knowing the parameters of the decision. So, oh, poor baby. He's like, where's my mama?
Oh, he's going crazy today.
He's like, I need her.
I know, right?
Okay. So anyway, I think it's going back to the concept of, do you need to make a decision before you come to the decision? I think that's about preparedness.
Sure.
And that when you're prepared, you know the factors. So the decision is never difficult. So, for example, if my girls are like, so we're like, oh, it's Sunday afternoon, and I know that every Sunday afternoon there's a list of things that we need to get done in order to prepare for tomorrow, and then we can play and have, you know, fun and games and whatever.
Right.
And at 3 o'clock, they're like, hey, Mom, can we go swimming? And I'm like, you know what? That'd be great if we could go swimming, but you know we need to do this for school, this, this, and this, and then we can go swimming. So it's not like I need to be all, oh, wow, this is such a tough decision. It's not a tough decision, because it's really just putting the factors into the factor machine to be like, well, are we ready for tomorrow? Have we checked off our homework? Is your backpack packed? Do you have your clothes laid out for the week? If those aren't done, nope, we can't go swimming yet. Let's get those done, and then yes, we can. Gotcha. Or whatever, right?
Right.
So I think decision-making isn't necessarily making the decision before the decision comes. It's just knowing your factors. And then when the decision comes, it's not really that difficult.
Right.
Versus if you have no factors, every decision is a major ordeal.
Right. But that takes a very mature person to be able to do.
And that is the art of what I think, back on the whole leadership thing, is being a good leader is maybe it's about knowing your factors. So it's all about making decisions, and making decisions is about understanding your factors or your essentials so that you can make good decisions.
Yes. And it, you know, and my only concern, and I agree completely with you. Who's the guy? Tim Knight, Knight. Google him. He and his brother do a podcast, and they talk about this. But he's also a huge influence on, of course, this is college football, Urban Meyer, who's the head coach at Ohio State. And then there's another guy who is a huge influence on Nick Saban, but that's what they talk about. They talk about... We've done our homework. We know what we're going to do in every situation. And when the decision comes up, that has to be made. The decision is already made.
Yes, right.
And that takes a maturity that I wonder if the generations below, even myself, I wonder if we have the maturity to get there.
Uh-huh.
So the question becomes, what does it take to get to that level of factor?
Yeah. What are the factors? What are those elements that
right.
What are the preparedness elements, so
right.
to speak?
Mm-hmm. So is leadership about decisions, or is leadership about preparation?
Well, no, I still think it's about decisions, because if you were just prepared but you didn't execute anything, then you're not a leader.
Exactly.
I stand strong.
No, I agree. It's about execution, right?
Yeah, totally. Right, absolutely. If you can't cast your vision, if you can't speak it forth, or you can't create the community, you can be prepared. You know, there's lots of people who prepare for things and nothing happens.
Right.
Versus preparing and then executing. I think that kind of comes into the heart of it.
I would be interested to see and to do some thinking and talking about what if decision making is the heart of leadership, then what's it take? What is the preparation required to be able to make those decisions?
Mm-hmm. Right, that's a great question. I'm writing it down. What is the preparation required to make great decisions?
Yeah. I mean, what do you need?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you could wrap it up in 10 essentials.
Right.
I
have some ideas, of course.
Yes.
But it'd be, okay, I think it'd be interesting to see what a community would say about that. Other people, you know, and I think people get a little bit confused about, like, when we talk about the qualities of leaders and, you know, it's like putting others first and being humble and whatever. Well, okay, so what's the factor on that, right? How do you do that? And that's where I think people get confused into this checklist leadership thing versus the essence of who you are. Because I think a preparedness thing is a mental, emotional, and spiritual practice or discipline of who you are allows you to weather different things.
Right. Yes. So it's a character issue.
I think it is. Yes. I think it is a character thing. Mm-hmm. Yes. So awesome. Okay. Well, that's good. Let's pick up there next time, huh?
Okay.
Thanks for listening in today, and be sure to subscribe so you don't miss an episode of Powerful Insight. For more up-to-date information and tips to help you on your quest for change, head over to the website at www.wdavidphillips.com and sign up for our newsletter.